When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to TGIF. I'm back with two of the most fabulous men in the entertainment industry and in the world. That's Al Reynolds and Q, but that's not their official welcome. So hold up on the hand gesture, Q. We're here to spill some tea and talk about some of the biggest headlines in news and in social media. So sit back, relax, and grab your mugs because it's time to pour a little Friday night tea. We've been waiting for this all week. Okay, tonight's show is going to be a little bit special, but I'll get to that in a second. Please welcome multimedia personality and talk show host, Funky Dineva. Never gets old. And please welcome brand strategist Al Reynolds. Hi, Al.
We need Al.
Like curtsy in his seat.
We need a gesture for you. There's a lot going on tonight's show. From where I'm broadcasting from, we have a special guest with us tonight. It's what Q did last night, what Al's probably going to do later on tonight. So before we get into that, let me just tell you, tonight we're honoring and celebrating our fans with our very first Fan Appreciation Day. That's right. We appreciate our fans, and we love y'all so much for the way you support us. Y'all be going hard for TGIF. So tonight we're allowing one lucky fan to hang out with us tonight live on our show and join us. So to help kick off tonight's Fan Appreciation Day, our first lucky lady hails from Boston, Massachusetts. Please welcome Angela Sanders.
How you doing? Hi, Claudia.
Hey, girl.
How you guys doing?
Oh, good.
I've been waiting for this moment all my life.
You lit already. It looked like we about to have a whole lot of fun with you.
Let me tell you something about people from New England. They work hard, but they party hard, and they don't pronounce their R's right. There's like always like they say hard. There's no R. So we don't really pronounce our R's correctly, but we have a lot of fun, and we're going to have a good show tonight. So welcome, Angela. Tell us about yourself. Thank you. You know, why do you want to be here tonight? Why do you like this show?
Well, Funky Dineva, I love your show. I watch it all the time. I'm a really big fan. You know, Claudia, I know you from The Housewives, so that's what originally started me, you know, watching it. And then caught on to Al and Funky Dineva. So listen, like everybody else, you know why we watch it.
It's real, it's raw.
You don't hold back, keep it real.
It is.
So, okay, we asked you what makes you a fan of the show, but Angela, we got to ask you, and you got to keep it real. Who's your favorite of the co-hosts? Who's your favorite?
Well, see, Ali, he's a Hansel wasn't name. Dineva, you really, really, I laugh at you every time I watch the show. You always say something smart's coming out of your mouth, which is good. And Claudia, pick up the glasses, pick it up, because I want to commend you. I'm a Housewives fan. You're on the Housewives. And you know, on that bus ride you had with Nene, I was like, listen, not every woman can stand up to Nene, but you tore her a new asshole. So, hey to you, girl.
Hey, hey for me, tear an asshole.
I was proud of you. You held your own. You held it down.
Well, you know what? Thank you for being here tonight. And let's get into the show. I got to explain my background. Angela, you're from Boston. I'm here in Rhode Island. I'm hosting a pay-per-view event at the Silhouettes Strip Club in Providence. So you might see a dancer in the background tonight. And we're just going to roll with it, fellas and ladies and gentlemen. We're going to just roll with it, okay?
I know you as some old chicken leg white woman, because don't know black people live in Providence, bro.
At all.
Angela, tell him. We got black people out here.
I'm gonna keep it real. He's right.
You. I bet all the strippers look like Miley Cyrus.
Well, maybe I gotta get on the poll. I brought the right outfit though. I think tonight I brought a little sexy outfit. All right, y'all. Let's get into the show. We have a lot to cover tonight, okay? So Andrew's going to hang out with us tonight, and we're going to break down some stories. All right, let's get into it. Piers Morgan, who was such a jerk, I think, was criticized on Twitter for calling 23-year-old tennis star Naomi Osaka an arrogant, spoiled brat because of her decision to withdraw from the French Open for the sake of her mental health. Piers posted the tweet, "Narcissistic Naomi's cynical exploitation of mental health to silence the media is right from the Meghan and Harry playbook of wanting their press cake and eating it too." What do you think about Piers Morgan coming for another Black woman, a young woman at that, and, you know, kind of inserting himself into this? What do y'all think?
I think Piers Morgan has a wild hair up his ass for women of color. Had this been a white woman, everybody would be falling and be running to her like a damsel in distress because they get to cry over the drop of a raindrop and the whole world is coming to an end. Yet somehow or another, Piers Morgan is unable to see the humanity in women of color. Like I said, if this woman was white, it would be, oh my God, we commend her, you know, praise the Lord. She's getting the break that she needs, but because she's a Black girl, all of a sudden she's ungrateful. I'm sure that's one of the things he probably thinks, because let's face it, he doesn't feel that people that look like us deserve to be there in the first place. So he's probably calling her all kind of ungrateful and she needs to tough it out, so on and so forth. Piers just needs to go sit down, because at this point, he's saying that she's taken a page out of the Meghan and Harry playbook, but he's taken a page out of the Donald Trump playbook, where you just harp on these stupid, atrocious issues to pander to this crowd over there to keep your name relevant. And it's just pathetic at this point.
He's for sure an attention whore. I have a little Piers story, but I want to get Al's thoughts on this. Al, what do you think?
I concur with Funky on this, on the he's gaining from the PR. Now, this is what's interesting, though. Remember, he talked bad about Meghan because he tried to date her and she dissed him to go meet Prince Harry. I think what we're seeing here is that Piers saw how much attention he got at attacking women of color from the Meghan thing. And he decided to use this opportunity to attack another incredible woman who's ranked number two in a tennis in the world to get more media attention, because Piers unfortunately don't have a real job anymore. He walked out of one job and got fired from the other, was bringing in all his income. What's so interesting to me, though, is that you would be so vulgar to use someone's mental health and use that as the crutch to define the person that you're going to attack. The real mental health issue here, in my opinion, is Piers Morgan.
You know, Angela, I want to get your thoughts on this. I just want to say real quick, he was on Celebrity Apprentice on the panel the year that I was on it. And, you know, we kind of bumped heads a little bit. He's just very bitch made. And he's not only decades older than the women he's insulting constantly, but he's not reading the room. He's like tone deaf. You know, it's a white man once again coming for a woman of color and very being very judgy and dismissing one's feelings without even, like, you know, like, you have not walked any steps in this woman's shoes. You don't know. You can't, who are you to question when or someone is or is not having an issue? You don't know this. Right. And he's just constantly, he's a media whore. He'll do anything for attention. And what I witnessed on the show was he was so far up Trump's butt. I mean, I can't really say what I want to say, but he was up in there. He was up in them guts. Let's just say that. Angela, what do you think?
He was out there. Nobody was watching me. I'm going to tell you something. What I think is he better watch out for that choo-choo chain, because he could be the next contestant on taking that cancel ride. That's what I think, if he already hasn't been. I know he got taken from the other show, the one that he made the comment about.
Good morning, Britain.
Good morning, Britain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing that people keep getting jobs.
Yes. He's not really that interesting to me, so I don't really pay too much attention to him. But, you know.
The thing here is that he still has a huge megaphone, right? that works in the media, unfortunately. What right. I did enjoy, though, about this story was Billie Jean King, one of the, you could consider the best female tennis player in the history of tennis, Martina Navratilova, Steph Curry, Russ Wilson, Lisa Leslie, and Ava DuVernay all came to Naomi's back and offered their support, because they all understand that depression and anxiety is real with those Gen Zs. Gen Zs deal with depression and anxiety, and their suicidal rates are 3.7% times higher than any other generation that exists. They just don't know how to manage the pressure, and they don't know how to manage the expectations and fame. And she clearly, if you watch her in any of her interviews, you see how that little girl shakes when she's in front of those cameras. Her voice shakes. She's very uncomfortable, and it causes her a lot of pain. Respect her right to bow out is what I'm saying.
Speaking of pain, Ricky Martin revealed he still suffers after his disastrous interview with Barbara Walters way back in 2000. Ricky came out as a gay man in 2010 after years of people speculating, is he or is he not? But he was put on spot to publicly address the rumors when he had an interview with Walters, which he says still gives him anxiety to this day. Now, the singer said, when she dropped the question, I felt violated because I was just not ready to come out. I was very afraid, and there's a little PTSD still there. Fellas, do you ever feel pressured into living your truth? I know, Al, we've had these conversations, especially as of late. And how do you feel about, you know, people doing this and outing or, you know, demanding to know where someone stands as far as their sexuality?
Ricky need to go sit his ass down somewhere, okay? Ricky, you are on the other side of the rainbow at this point. Anybody who has been closeted knows that once you get on the other side, it is the most liberating, most gratifying feeling one could ever feel. So all this PTSD about the life you used to live, if anything, Barbara Walters helped set you free. That's number one. Number two, to Ricky, and this was the point that I was going to make about Naomi. As celebrities, as popular people, as people who get to do what we do for a living, as well as Ricky Martin, you live very privileged lives, all right? You live very privileged lives. And certain things are just par for the course, you know what I'm saying? And being asked questions about your personal life is part of being a celebrity. It is not her fault that you were unable or unwilling to come out at that time, that you were uncomfortable. We all have to take this journey, you know, one step at a time at our own pace. But Ricky, girl, please stop. Like, just stop.
Al, I really want to hear what you have to say about this.
You know, I would have to come to Ricky's defense on this one and disagree with Funky. And let me tell you why. I too feel like there was a point that I suffered from PTSD because of what the backlash I received for not coming out and saying that I was a bisexual man, even though I did make it very clear that, you know, when they were, you know, trying to say that I was straight, I'd never had anything to say about it. I think what the deal is here with Ricky is this, Funky. He was at the top of his career in 2000. It's very funny because I actually had this conversation with Barbara Walters when we were on her private plane flying back from Trump's Mar-a-Lago one time. And I asked her about this particular interview, and the thing that she said that just really blew my mind was she felt, and she has said this in the media, that she felt pushing him and asking him that question single-handedly destroyed his career. And if we watch the numbers of sales, even though he has over 70 million to date, we see that there was a spike and there was a huge decline after that particular interview. And that, I see why it could cause him PTSD. Hey, because anytime you think about that moment in your life that destroyed your income at the rate and the way it did his and affected his ability to sell more records, he has a right to feel anxiety every time it comes up. He has a right to feel awkward and weird. Now, he did say, like Funky said, it was the most liberating thing he ever did when he came out.
He said he should have also come out then. He's like, I did read where he said, you know, I wish would have. And I think the world, it's a lot has changed in 20 years. We can all agree to that. Nowadays, when you come out, it actually helps your career a lot more.
Right.
Well, let me not just speak on that because I'm not in that space.
Just the thing that be getting me with the girls, right? the thing that killed me with the girls is that they act as if the world was receiving them as straight in the first place. Like, girl, you they asked you the question because the girls already knew you was gay, Miss Ricky. Like, come on, girl. You wasn't fooling no damn body. And please do not act like it was just so damn far-fetched and left field for her to ask you, you was your merengue dancing ass gay. Okay? We all knew you was gay. Your mama knew you was gay. Your teacher knew you was gay. Barbara Walters' ass knew you was gay. You the only one who didn't know your ass was gay. And that's why you STPD, or however you are putting that word tonight.
PTSD. But Funky, let me ask you this, though. Explain then why it wasn't until he actually had to come out of his mouth that his record sales tripled every year on top of year. Explain to me why until Raven Simone came out that her contract with Disney tripled and tripled every year until they came out. You have to explain to me why certain people can't have hesitation about their careers that's matched to their income, which is matched to their personalities.
Can't explain nothing because we have to go to commercial break. We'll be right back with more TGIF when we return. Sorry. Okay, we are back with more TGIF with my guys, Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva, and our lucky fan for the day, fan co-host, Angela Sanders. Al, you got some business to do. Oh, let me say it again. Al, you got some business to do. Take it away.
Yes, I do. Tonight's episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, I know it's been a hell of a year, and if you're like me, you're feeling your age more than you used to, and for some, especially in the bedroom. Well, it's time to snap out of it because spring is here, and it's time to get sprung with Blue Chew. For those of you who hate swallowing pills, like myself, we got you covered. Blue Chew's tablets are chewable, and they help men achieve harder and stronger erections to combat all forms of erectile dysfunction. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And guess what? You don't have to worry about those awkward visits to the doctor's office because Blue Chew is an online prescription that ships right to your door in a discreet package. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. As far as the registration process, don't worry. It's simple. Sign up at bluechew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days, and it's all done online. And tonight, we've got a special offer for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code TEA at checkout, and you'll only pay $5 for shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code TEA to receive your first month free. We would like to thank Blue Chew for sponsoring our show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to TGIF. All right, let's get back into it now. In royal news, it's reported that by The Guardian that Buckingham Palace and the Queen's aides banned colored immigrants or foreigners from working in office until the late 60s. Apparently, the Queen's chief financial manager instructed minorities, colored people, I hate when they say colored people, it sounds so racist, and immigrants, they were not only allowed to be employed as domestic servants in the royal family, but they were banned from any clerical or office jobs. Are y'all surprised? Q, what you think?
I think it's a non-story. I think if you're talking about the 60s, what was going on in Britain is consistent with what was going on in the US and the Jim Crow South. That's just where the world was at that time. Doesn't make it right, but that's just where we were at that time. What I don't like is that this is being dredged up right now on the heels of the Meghan and Harry thing to try to make it more than what it is, but that's where the world was in the 60s.
Well, I have to once again disagree with Funky because it was where the world was in the 60s, but they kept this implemented, not just in the 60s. They kept it implemented in the 70s, okay? They even, the government officials even told them that everybody else had to adhere to discriminatory employment laws except for the royal family. Not only did they do it in the 70s, they did it in the 80s. They did it all the way until the 90s. And to me, that's unacceptable. So to have that practice happen over all those decades, even though we as a world have come so far, it's just unacceptable. But the good thing is that that came from Meghan and Prince Harry is this. The Queen is now deciding to create a position for a diversity officer to make sure that individuals that work in the palace are not only of color in as servants, but also of color in all ranks. So thumbs up for the Queen and thumbs up for their accepting and wanting to implement different change. Angela, what do you think?
Hold on, Angela. Al, you think you better than me because you know what's going on over in Britain. You think you better than me?
Tell me how you really feel. Tell me how you really feel.
Okay.
You know, we ain't surprised. I mean, what England has been colonizing the world. I mean, they just roll up on countries, pick a country, slaughter the natives, rape them, take their shit, take their oil, take their diamonds. That's what they did. They was doing far worse. So the fact that they had given some jobs away, and not the higher ones, higher ranking ones, that's what they do. That's actually nice on their scale.
And let me tell you something. Miss me with the diversity officer bull crap. I mean, we have been, that has been the corporate fix since 91. Oh, there's a racial claim. Well, we just hired the dark-skinned black girl with the kinky hair to be the diversity officer. She's going to be over hiring for the cafeteria and janitorial staff. We're not going to give her any real power. We don't want no more damn diversity officers. You want to make that MF diverse? Make the CEO black. Bum.
That's right.
There we go.
Okay.
Now, I do agree tomorrow, with that.
Yes. I do agree with that. I'm over these days of empowering black people. No. This isn't about empowering black people. This is about putting black people in power. Like you said, Q, it's time for, if you are a diversity officer and you want true diversity in your company, make the president a person of color. Make the president someone other than a woman. Make the president, and I'm not talking bad against women, I just need to see color in power. I don't need for you to empower me anymore. I don't need for you to give me a diversity officer position because that's not power. That's empowering.
These crackers ain't trying to share their shit. They're just going to do enough that they can release a press release that makes them look somewhat civil. Moving on, Angela, do you wear bonnets ever? Do you wear bonnets or wrap your hair?
Yes, I actually do. Yes, we do. As a black female, yes, I do.
Do you wear them out in public?
I wear a hat over it, but I do. Okay.
Yep. Well, Monique was getting dragged because she made a statement about, you know, us being out in public and how we look. Let's take a look.
All right.
I've been seeing sisters showing up with these bonnets and headscarves and these slippers. And the question that I'm having to you is, when did we lose pride in representing ourselves? When did we step away of, let me make sure I'm presentable when I leave my home?
Y'all think, I mean, people got mad at what she said, but I'm just like, what did she say wrong? What do y'all think?
Well,
do your titties hang low? Do they wobble to the ground? Can you tie them in the night? Can you throw them on your shoulder like a continent?
Do
your titties hang low?
I'm not doing this. This is my friend.
Well, I'll tell you what. I love Monique, but you're out of line. I think she's out of line. I think she should worry about herself and not other people, because as black female, Claudia, you know, we go to the airport where they're germy, sneezy, coughing, farting, nasty people in and out all day long, and no one's coming along with little Lysol wipes after. And black women preserve their hair. They do. They wrap it, they put the bonnet over it. And if you're gonna be on a plane for 8 hours, 6 hours, there's nothing wrong with that. What you think of me is none of my business. Keep it to yourself. Do you, boo? Monique, you're
right. But we wrap our hair to look good when we go out the house. Like, that's where my issue is. Like, I get being comfortable, but I also like hate when people can like look at some of us and judge us by that. I hate when I see my young sisters like that. I'm like, man, step out.
Okay, I understand. I know.
It doesn't matter what she said. Personally.
But you have to understand, sometimes it's not about impressing the world. Sometimes it's about your comfortability. It's about you. It's not about other people all the time. So you got to just take that out of the equation. Sometimes you do you, right? If I'm going to the airport and I want to be comfortable and I'm going to be sitting in a chair for 8 hours, What's wrong with just wrapping your hair? And
I just feel like there's absolutely nothing wrong with wrapping your hair and putting on a bonnet, but you right. can cover it up if that's if that's your main reason for wrapping your hair. I think what Monique was saying is that perception is reality. Mm-hmm. And we all as entertainers know that more than anything. And unfortunately, when you go out the house with house slippers on, your mm-hmm. pajamas, and your hair wrapped in a bonnet, looking like you're getting ready for bed, you're perceiving, your perception that you're giving off to everybody that see you is not even to what it should be, I think was the argument that she was having. And I totally agree with it. That is not, slippers and pajamas are not casual wear. It is called slippers and pajamas for a reason, because it should be used to do just that. But that's just my opinion. My whole thing is, I got from her argument was this, that as Black women, you women are powerful and you're great. Stop letting people take that power from you by judging you by how you show up to America. Funky, what do you think?
I mean, I think the issue is multifaceted, and we obviously don't have enough time to really dig. Y'all can check out my YouTube video that I did for 40 minutes, just addressing a lot of different things. But really quickly, you know, one point that I want to make is that, you know, Black women are being policed from just every damn angle, from the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they, so that's one conversation. We'll wrap that up in a bow, put it over here. The other in which I dug deeper in my YouTube video is, I think it's less about the bonnet and more about the bonnet behavior and everything else that goes along with it. Because typically when you see that person in the airport with the bonnet and the fuzzy slippers, that's the loud person, the ghetto person. They cussing in front of grown people. They talking on FaceTime while they walking through the airport cussing. It's all of that. I think if it was just the bonnet, that it wouldn't be an issue. I think that the deeper situation is what comes with that bonnet behavior.
Very, very good point.
We're talking about behavior then. We're not talking about anything but behavior. So with that being said, I'm not saying that it's not okay to go wear a bonnet in the airport. I'm not saying that it's okay, but I'm saying sometimes people do them, but you're right. It's about the way their behavior is, the way they act, the way they talk. So Claudia, you and I, we could walk into the airport with a bonnet on and probably wouldn't have a second, I bet. But it's behavior. It's the way they're acting.
And I still wouldn't do it though. Like I like to put my best face forward when I leave the house every day. Even if I'm going into the gym, like I may not have makeup on, but I'll like put it together. Like I'll pull my hair back. I'll have a tight ponytail. I'll match my clothes. I won't have wrinkled clothes. And yet it's not really about impressing the world and it being for them. It's really for me. I feel like I was raised to present myself in a proper way when I leave the house and to have a little class about myself. You never know who you're going to run into. And even if it's not about anybody else, why do you want to go out the house looking like you about to go change the cat's litter box?
We're not talking about every day, Chloe. Talking about, we don't always have to impress the world. Sometimes we can just do you. And it's nobody else's business. If I want to be comfortable at an airport, I'm going to be comfortable.
And why wear pajamas in public?
Talk about pajamas. Now, you said bonnets.
Well, I said bonnet, but if you watch the video, the entire thing she talked about was bonnets, slippers, and pajamas. So it was the whole thing.
Head to toe.
Well, you know, it's one other thing that I want to point out with the bonnet, and Angela and Claudia, you guys can back me up on this. I think the bonnet is a direct result also of Black women's preoccupation with their hair, right? Because a lot of the reason why people are wearing this bonnet, they're like, bitch, I just got my hair done.
Preserving it, right, exactly.
Later on tonight, and I want my hair to be fresh. You see,
and your hair will last longer if you wrap it. We're
talking about pride versus lack of pride. I mean, the bonnet, I'm just hoarding my pride for later on tonight because I'm trying to get chose. Okay? I'm trying to get chose. So,
Q, speaking of getting chose, did you get chose last night? Was you out there doing it? Were you doing hood rat things with your friends last night?
I heard he jumped into an Uber and went around a corner.
You know, I had an out call or whatever, you know, rent. I had an out call. I had a gentleman call or summons me, and I was tipsy, so he sent me an Uber. Okay.
Did he pay you?
Well, he paid for my Uber.
So did you give it up for an Uber ride?
Ooh. I mean, he's done it for less.
Q.
Look at it this way. I didn't have to burn my gas. So I mean, yes.
I love it.
And gas the car.
That Uber ride was worth $10,000 because I could have got a DUI and he cared enough about me to send me an Uber.
You cut it out, please.
Well, what's happening on the boat ride tomorrow?
You could have took a golf cart across the corner.
We are going to take a quick break. We got ratchet co-hosts. It is what it is at this point. Y'all are ratchet. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more TGIF. I'm going to hit this hook on the commercial break. We'll be right back, y'all. Hey guys, welcome back to TGIF. And you know what? Before we move on, we'd like to thank our fan, Angela Sanders from Boston, Fine and Wingman Girl, for hanging out with us tonight. We really appreciate you, Angela. And I like how you stand strong on your opinions.
Angela, follow me on Instagram, baby. @TheRealLReynolds.
You got
all
it.
Right?
And you too, Q. Right. Bye, everybody.
Love you.
Thank you so much. All right, girl, have fun. Now, to everybody out there, our soulmates, if you'd like to become part of TGIF's Fan Appreciation Day, make sure you upload a video to Instagram with the hashtags FoxSoul and TGIF and tell us how much you enjoy the show. And if you're lucky enough, you may find yourself kikiing with me, Al Reynolds, and Funky Dineva live on the air. And we'd love to see, other fans out there that want to hang out with us on a fan appreciation night. All right, Al, now it's your turn to try to read again. Don't mess this up because this is where our money's coming from.
All right, everybody. Tonight's episode is brought to you by the best in men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world, Manscaped. Imagine shaving those sensitive areas with a sleek, well-designed, and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. Look, Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. And they just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. I'm one of the first people to try this new tool, and I'm blown away by the performance, the craftsmanship, and the details. Honestly, Manscaped engineered the ultimate growing and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality to create an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cut-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents that we all have, thanks to their advanced skin-safe TM technology. This upgraded trimmer also includes a multifunction on and off switch that can engage a travel lock. And it also gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off for a more precise shave. The Lawnmower 4.0 even allows you to customize your trim through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. But wait, did I mention wireless charging? The new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer so you can travel with it. And tonight, we have the hookup for our fans. Get not 5, not 10, but 20% off and free shipping with the code TEA at manscaped.com. Yep, you heard me right. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use the code TEA. So stop what you're doing and join over 2 million men like myself worldwide who trust Manscaped by unlocking your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, and a shout out to all our soulmates in the YouTube, on the YouTube chat watching us live. We appreciate y'all, and the ones that are gonna rewatch it first thing when it comes on Saturday, we love y'all, we rock with y'all, and thank you for rocking with us. We really appreciate y'all. I'm here with Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva. Let's get into more stories and hot topics. Let's turn up. Listen, Kim Kardashian, she admitted that she felt like a loser and a failure because of her split with Kanye West. Now that is her third marriage. And on a recent episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, she was crying to her sisters about not being able to support Kanye's every move and that he needs a wife that can stop and drop everything and travel with him. This is Kim's third marriage and divorce. She was married to music producer Damon Thomas and professional basketball player Chris Humphries. That was one that was like 71 days. What are your thoughts about Kim looking at her marriage as a failure instead of a lesson? How do y'all feel about it? What do you think? Is she right?
I don't think it's a failure. I think people have got to stop hailing marriage as the end all be all exalted way of being. It didn't work. It just simply didn't work. I mean, what was the alternative? To stay in something that was unhealthy for the sake of calling yourself a success? It didn't work. And quite frankly, the way your bank account multiplies seven times over after being with his ass, it seemed like a big damn success to me, Al.
So, I'm still getting over the other 15 that didn't work and why they didn't affect her the same way this one didn't work. Okay, can we just do a quick march down Kim Kardashian's dating life? She started with TJ Jackson, who was Michael Jackson's nephew. She lost her virginity to him.
Hold up, wait. Which one was that?
TJ Jackson was, she dated him when she was 14.
Was that one of
Michael Jackson's nephew?
Was that one?
She lost her virginity. She lost her virginity to him.
How you know?
At Neverland Ranch.
How do you know, Al? How you know she?
Because I actually do. Oh, I'm sorry. I do research, but yes. Oh, at 14, she asked her mother if she could lose her virginity to TJ Jackson, which is Michael Jackson's nephew at Neverland. Okay. Then after that, she dated Joey Lawrence.
Hold on. Yeah, don't just go through this. Let us comment. She asked her mother.
Go ahead. Huh?
What kind of newfangled white woman shit is this? She asked her mama. Wait.
She went to her mother, and she, at the time, it was like, think about it, though, guys. Think about it. Think about the mother. Think about the opportunity to date a Jackson at that time in 1995.
Does he count? Huh? Does he count?
Of course he counts. He's a nephew. She lost her virginity to him at 14 in Neverland.
What? I don't remember that one. Do you remember that one, Q?
I don't, but I don't even care about that. I'm stuck on Ask the Mama. Like, because Jenna been doing that. Now, Trina said that she had the chance to do it all over again. She'd be hunching by the time she's 10. And Kim Kardashian said she's going to be doing it at 14 at the Neverland. got a permission slip signed by her mama to go on a field trip.
That's right, to go to Neverland and lose her virginity. No, but I know y'all want to keep right here, but let's keep going because I think we got some jewels here, all right? She after that didn't work out, and they dated for 4 years now. Let's be clear. It was a bona fide relationship for 4 years. From 14 to 18, she dated Michael Jackson.
Huh? Who was next?
The actor Joey Lawrence. How interesting was that? Because in 1999, Joey Lawrence was kind of a up and coming big actor, right?
Now,
this is what?
If you give a bio on each one, we ain't gonna get to number 17 and 18.
Okay, let me just run through it real quick. You're the one that told me to stop. Okay, at 19 is when she married Damon Thomas, the record producer who was on top of his game at that point, right? After that, it was Ray J in 2005. It was Nick Lachey who, after he divorced Homegirl in 2006. It was Nick Cannon in 2006 and 7. Then she dumped him and went to Reggie Bush from 2007 to 2010. Left him for the guy that dated J-Lo. Remember that soccer player in 2010? She's nabbed the soccer player. What is this? Cristiano Ronaldo. You remember that guy? Very attractive, tall.
Yeah.
Left him, had a rumor to be dating Justin Bieber when he was 16 and she was 29. Left his ass because
that's... Hold on.
What?
You said when he was 16 and she was 29?
Use the math, baby. This ain't nothing new. In 2010, she was 29. In 2010,
That's illegal.
He was 16.
You can't have sex with an adult at 16?
She got too much heat on that. They shut that down.
Well, he white. Maybe he got permission from his mammy to wait at 14.
Right?
Keep going.
She dumped him after he posted that was his girlfriend. Got too much heat in the media for that. Went to Miles Austin. Y'all remember when she dated that really attractive football player from the NFL? Dumped his ass because she met Gabriel Aldrey, who was Halle Berry's ex-husband. I mean, used to be married to Halle Berry, but remember, she thought that he was using her for fame. Dumped him, slept with her bodyguard, Shango. Remember that? Y'all don't remember that? When the Kardashians did New York, dumped him, got heat from being sleeping with the bodyguard. Then she got with Chris Humphries, married him for 72 days. After she divorced him, Drake dripped in the picture. That didn't work out. Married Kanye West. That lasted, we saw for how long. And now she's back at Drake. So you tell me, is she really hurt over Kanye West and that not working out?
Now, you just told all this lady business, okay? But really? I'm still stuck on how you walk back in your mama's house at 14 with a wet ass and she knows. Like, what did that, oh Lord.
You know that conversation that mama said, did you seal the deal? That's a Jackson. And you were never led. And she was like, mama, I did it. I got it.
I want to come back in my next life. That's not really white, but white-ish. I want to see what it feels like to live by these ridiculous rules. And I could never say that to a family member. My mother, right. Your aunties all up in your business. You couldn't even have sex before. You think about it, before 18. You was a hussy. You was too fast. Slow your ass down. You gonna get nobody was cheerleading me to date someone at 14, and never mind giving up ass at 14.
You know, you should be able to retroactively call Children and Family Services on somebody. Her ass needs to at least do 90 days in the county in for what she did in 1995. That's some low-down ass mess.
But look, if we're really honest, the same thing happened with Michael and also with R. Kelly. Their mothers and the parents were driving these kids to Neverland, to his house, R. Kelly's house. You tell me, where is the line there?
And let me be perfectly clear here. I was sexually active at 14. That's when I started. But you best believe I didn't go ask nobody. Nobody in my damn house knew what was going on. And I wasn't telling my parents what it is I was doing when I was school, so on and so forth. It's just something a little unnatural with that for me. It's the premature huzziness for me.
You're speaking talking of, about pre-calculated is what you mean, not yeah, premature. Yeah, pre-calculated.
That story was kind of a mess. That was a mess. Speaking of messes, new photo shoot alert. Kaya dropped some photos. Rapper Kaya, well, she's the rap. She dropped some new photos from her recent photo shoot on the gram. And she had everybody gagging. Let's take a look at these pictures of Kaya. My neck, my back. Wow, y'all see the pictures?
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, based on Kaya and I's very adversarial history, this is a prime, and I know there are some people sitting on the other side of these screens with bated breath.
What's up with the knees, though? She got them K-legs.
Waiting for me to do a whole lot of damage. But I'll take the high road. I will say this, though. You can't call her ugly. You can't call Kaya ugly. She's not ugly. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think more Black women than not look like her. The body type, the face. One thing I will give Kaya, she's a natural woman. She's natural. Shut your mouth. Ghetto dogs. So you got this ghetto heifer on the screen and now my dog's at the ghetto.
They probably haven't been fed in 2 days because you ain't been home.
I think they saw the picture. And I can talk my shit because she talked about me and I've never done nothing to this lady. I used to listen to her music. I don't think she's ugly either. I just think she just looks unkempt all the time. She just always looks dusty. And she'll probably make a video about me or not. I don't care. I can have my opinion on the pictures. I like that she tried something different. I like that she tried it. And, you know, I'll never be mad at that. But it's hard to root for her because she goes so hard. And people can say, oh, y'all talk about people too. Yes, we do. But she goes so hard. And she's funny as hell. I just wish she would use her powers for good sometimes because she's clever, she's fast, and she's witty, but it's always from a place of like so angry and so negative. And I'm like, yo, you're kind of dope with how fast you are and how quick-witted you are. Yeah. But it's always like evil. And I just think she looks dusty.
There's a fine line between entertainment and just nasty and vile.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Kaya just gets vile with it. I remember when her and T.S. Madison, they took off with doing their thing that they were doing. And I remember telling Maddie, I was like, this is unsustainable.
Yeah.
I said, because can't no network do nothing with this woman calling people, talking about people's children and talking about them like a dog. And she called it keeping it real, but that's beyond keeping it real. Some of the stuff that come out of Kaya's mouth is just evil. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, and I can see that. Finally, not even, you got big nerve. All you do is sit up and talk about people. You absolutely right, but I don't do it that damn bad.
Al, what do you think about the pictures? How do you think they came out? Do you think she hit the mark, or do you think it was do you think she looked good?
I 100% think she hit the mark compared to what she normally looks like. I think she looked like $1 million, if you ask me. I loved her walk video. I thought that was hot. Ass out, chest out. She, I mean, to me, compared to what I'm used to seeing her look like, I felt like she did a very good job. Now, I will say this about her. That woman right there has a talent, and that is how fast that woman can talk. Kaya, if I can just give you just one bit of advice, can you please stop hitting that gavel so much? Because I can't hear all that you're saying, and you'd be dropping gems, but the gems and the gavel, they just be messing with me. And I'm a little slow. You're right. You can say that. But I will say that I enjoy her commentary. It can get vile sometimes, but it's what, with the pictures, I thought it looked best that she's ever looked, in my opinion, and what I've seen and when I'm watching her
videos. Would you hit?
That's a different story. Why not? She has a nice body. She has great breasts. I'm a breast man. I'm into that. Yeah. I mean, you know, the right cocktail, the right moment. Why not?
So I can tell y'all, I noticed hood boogers behavior well enough to know that this conversation we're having right now is going to turn into about 6 weeks worth of videos from her about us. So just be prepared.
Okay.
She's gonna call us trust and believe it's coming.
Well, you know what, like they tell us all the time, if you're going to give it, you got to be able to take it, and vice versa. She talks shit about everybody and their mama all the time.
I get down and nasty with it too, because the last time, you know how I backed up off me the last time I talked about a cockeyed grandbaby. Baby, I ain't had no problem. I ain't had no problems out of it since. So you listen, you bring it, bitch.
I mean, we're not lying. She looks, listen, I'm going to say it. I don't care. She looks dusty all the time. She always looks filthy. So it's hard for me to take her seriously. You've been in the business for.
I ain't lying either. The grandbaby cock. And it's a child, and I don't give a damn. Because I can get nasty too. But your cockeyed grandbaby and your damn Medicaid man that's still rap, still passing out CDs. People don't even have CDs no damn more. And she's still pulling up at the flea market, passing out CDs out that dusty ass van that need to take a trip down to the Meineke, shaped like a damn Wendy Williams grandma. Looking like she got a bunch of hair on her stuff between her legs and in her butt. Go ahead.
Well, that was Funky Dineva taking the high road. And with that being said, thank you for watching TGIF. I want to thank Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva our lucky fan, Angela Sanders, for joining us tonight. Stick around. We got the Tammy Mac Late Show, but first, Fox Holds Deals is up next. This might be our last show, y'all. Y'all have a good weekend.